Welcome back to the Sports Line. Ed Lane rolling along with you. Rich is off this week, so it's just me, and we'll have lots of ACC kickoff coverage. We'll touch on the Delta Dental State Open later on in the week, actually later on in covering the Commonwealth, which we'll get to momentarily, plus any other news and notes that open up and develop over the course of the week. Also, Commonwealth games, plenty to touch on there. That will be part of covering the Commonwealth, which again we mentioned will come your way shortly, because we need to let you know right now the Sports Line comes your way in part thanks to Gano's Sausage. The country boy on the label means quality on the table, and as you're grilling out this summer with family, with friends, whether you're heading to the lake, to the mountains, maybe to the beach, pack Gano's Sausage. Head to the store, grab some bratwurst as well. They make great grilling items. We know the sausage is legendary around the breakfast table. And remember, the country boy on the label does mean quality on the table.
It was another busy sports weekend here in Central and Southwestern Virginia. And we here at the Sports Line care about our audience. So let's hear from the experts who cover the teams you care about. Here's an unoriginal idea with a local twist. Covering the Commonwealth, a quick-hitting segment with expert insight and analysis on all of the local teams. Let's start with the Virginia Cavaliers.
Yes, indeed. Jerry Ratcliffe of jerryratcliffe.com with us here on Covering the Commonwealth as we're a couple days away from ACC kickoff. Jerry, you excited to go down and hear a bunch of folks speak, especially Bronco Mendenhall, in lieu of his adventurous last month or so?
Hi, yeah, I am, actually. It should be fun. It's sort of the unofficial start of football season. It gets everybody starting to think about college football a little bit. It's always interesting to catch up with coaches and players and see what's new with them and what their thoughts are heading into the training camps.
We heard Bronco Mendenhall's, at least to the Board of Visitors, about a month ago. Do we get more affirmation of that, more backtracking on that, more somewhere in the middle? What are you expecting on Wednesday, Thursday this week?
I imagine that'll be brought up at some point, because there was so much misinformation that came out originally on that, and I think people went back and cleared up any confusion. When he said he had X amount of ACC caliber players, well, that was talking about the roster then at that particular moment. It didn't include the guys who had left the program, had graduated. Several were ACC caliber, as we know. Some of them were all ACC players. And future players, which have now reported, which there are a number of what he considers ACC caliber players. So it's a very misleading story from the beginning. But it's something I'm sure will be discussed along with many other topics concerning the program and where it's headed.
What else are you expecting out of this this coming week for Virginia?
It's just going to be interesting to see Bronco's thoughts about his third year in the program, and after making a bowl game last season, sort of unexpectedly, what if he believes he can do it again. I'm sure he does believe that, but just talking to him about the particulars of how he's going to get it done and where the program stands now, and discussion about the changes he's made in offensive, not really philosophy, but in strategy to take advantage of some of the personnel and some of the speed they have on offense, which will be fairly different than what they've featured the past 2 years. And also how he's going to replace a couple of all-ACC players on defense, where they were so strong last season.
Jerry Ratcliffe of jerryratcliffe.com with us here on the Sports Line. Jerry, appreciate your time and insight into the Virginia Cavaliers. We'll chat again in a week.
Sounds great, Ed. We'll see you then.
Yes, indeed. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say on that next week. And very interesting how he framed the misleading, I guess, is how the interpretation was surrounding Bronco Mendenhall's comments to the Board of Visitors. Virginia Tech not out of the woods either when it comes to what's happened to them. We know about Josh Jackson. He'll be front and center at the ACC kickoff. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com with us here now on the Sports Line. Chris, it is...
Now to the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Ah, voice guy jumping in for a second. Now Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com with us. Chris, looking at Virginia Tech and Josh Jackson, are you surprised at all at how front and center they have put him in lieu of what happened with the question surrounding his eligibility?
Yeah, at first I was a little bit, but I think the more I think about it, he's going to get those questions asked of him anyway once the season starts. So I guess, you put him out there this week and you just kind of get it out of the way. And that way, when the media sessions start up, when practice begins, you don't have to deal with that at that point. I think you go ahead and put him out there now and let everybody get their questions out of the way and set the record straight. Assuming they take questions on it, they could issue some kind of statement beforehand saying we will not be commenting on this matter or something like that. So we'll just have to wait and see how they play it once everybody gets down to Charlotte.
What are you expecting? Are you expecting more of that kind of last-second statement? Are you expecting him to just be well-coached up and he has kind of his own, I don't know if spiel's the right word, but rehearsed and, thought-out response that we hear in different forms or different variations?
Yeah, I guess if I were them, how I would handle it is once I got down there, I might release some kind of a statement from him and then say, we will not be taking questions on the matter, but here's a statement. That's how I would handle it, probably. We'll see, though. I mean, he's a guy they've always had a lot of trust in, put a lot of trust in when it comes to doing interviews and saying the right things and stuff like that. So, he's the type that you can trust to put up there and not say something that he shouldn't say.
Is it not more important now than ever to get quarterbacks used to answering any and all questions, just given how much of a spotlight that position carries, especially for guys that aspire to play to the next level?
I think that's definitely accurate. I think, obviously he got a lot of experience with that last year. Being the starting quarterback, he was there basically every week during media sessions. So he got a lot of experience at that. And he was a quarterback, when good things happen, you're probably going to get a little more praise than you should. And when bad things happen, you're going to get a little more get the finger pointed at you a lot more than you probably should. So that just – it all comes with the – job description of being a quarterback these days.
The other guy that's there is Ricky Walker, who may not gain a lot of headlines, probably won't get first team because Clemson may sweep that on the defensive line, Chris.
Yeah.
They would for me, and that's no knock on Ricky Walker, but when you're projected to take up an eighth of the NFL draft, it's hard to overlook that. But that said, is that maybe not arguably one of the most important players at this event, just given how Virginia Tech is going to need him to assert himself as a vocal leader, given all the departures they've had?
Yeah, he's going to have to be a little bit of a vocal leader for the defense, and he's also going to have to be a great player. And, quite frankly, I want to get Ricky Walker in game shape, but I don't know how much I would practice him, at least as far as contact drills go in the month of August, because his health is very important to the success of Virginia Tech's defense this year. So I think you got to kind of wrap him in bubble wrap, so to speak, throughout the month of August, is a phrase somebody's used to me before. And I think that's an accurate statement, because his health is very important to this team.
What kind of player is he? Some guys would do that and it all of a sudden becomes a status symbol and special treatment. And, if you have enough talent, teams will overlook that anyway. But, is he the kind of guy that if they do monitor his reps, it's going to impact how he is perceived as a leader in the locker room?
No, I don't think so. Just for the simple fact that there's hardly any other seniors or on defense, or even there's not that many juniors when you think about it. I mean, all three linebackers are going to be true sophomores. You've got a lot of youth along the defensive line. And it's just when you look around the defense, it's sophomores and juniors, and he's really the only senior besides Vinny Mahota, a fellow defensive tackle, and Vinny just doesn't have that much to say. So I don't think they can really do anything to change the impact of what he'll bring to the table from a leadership standpoint. I just really don't see anywhere else Virginia Tech can turn on that side of the ball, because they've got so much inexperience.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Chris, appreciate the time. We'll chat again in a week.
Thanks, Ed. Have a good one, man.
Absolutely. Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com with us here on the sports line. That is one of the more underrated players for Virginia Tech is Ricky Walker. We'll get into that more later on in the week. But right now.
Now to the Liberty Flames.
Damian Sordelet, NewsAdvance.com covers the Liberty Flames and with us here on Covering the Commonwealth. Damian, Liberty now in a bowl agreement. What's your take on this latest wrinkle that came out last Thursday?
It's a big move for Liberty when you can say that, you know, before even playing an FBS game, Liberty has already has the tie-in for the final 2 years of this bowl cycle. Then when you look at a fellow independents, UMass is entering its third year, doesn't have a bowl tie-in yet. And outside of Notre Dame with its nine tie-ins through the affiliation with the Atlantic Coast Conference, you know, a lot of other independents might have one year. BYU losing the poinsettia, gets the Hawaii Bowl next year. Army doesn't have one for this upcoming year. Then New Mexico State has the automatic tie-in with the New Mexico Bowl. So it's a big thing for Liberty to get that, especially, you know, in its first season having an agreement that, you know, even in a transition phase, Liberty can still go to a bowl game.
How do they pull that off? Is this as much about what Ian McCall is able to do as anything else?
No. Well, in terms of getting the bowl game, it was just in terms of you can probably go back to what Ian McCall's relationship with the Orlando Sports Foundation. Several years ago, Baylor was in the Russell Athletic Bowl, now known as the Camping World Bowl, and he had a chance to work with the folks at the Orlando Sports Foundation. So he said he spent a lot of time researching the bowl games, the bowl possibilities for Liberty, and then entered a two-month negotiation with the Cure Bowl. The proceeds from that go to fighting cancer and looking for cancer research options. So it's something that aligns with Liberty's core values and something that they felt like as a newbie on the FBS block, they'd be able to get in, have a good affiliation with them as a secondary bowl bid.
Well, when he comes on the show tomorrow, I'm going to have to give him a piece of my mind, Damian, because it's not the Bahamas Bowl, which we know how near and dear that is to my mission of getaways to exotic islands. So very, very unfortunate in that regard. But in all seriousness, big coup for Liberty. Damian, appreciate your time. We will chat again in a week.
All right. Talk to you again next week, Ed.
Absolutely. Damian Sordelet with us here on Covering the Commonwealth. And that is a big one. And yes, we will... we will give you more on that next week, but, or rather tomorrow, when Ian McCall, the athletic director for the Liberty Flames, stops by around 5:30. However,
now to golf.
Chris Lang with us here on the sports line. We touched on it earlier, the Delta Dental State Open. It's taking place this coming Thursday and Friday over at Ballyhack in Roanoke. Chris Lang with us here now on the sports line. We'll start off with that, Chris. We've seen a lot of younger guys asserting themselves in these events. Are we expecting that to continue, or do you see veteran presence winning out?
Well, you know, the professionals have done really well at the State Open for the last few years. I mean, I think it was 2011 with Roger Newsom was the last amateur to win this event, though Mark Lawrence Jr. has been in position in the last couple of years. He's been got to a playoff 2 years ago, and he's certainly a guy that's capable of winning this thing. He seems to like Ballyhack quite a bit and plays well there every year. But, you know, once again, the professional field's pretty strong, especially with Jay Woodson coming back. He's a four-time champion. And Ryan Zylstra, who won last year, starting to play well again, heading back into this thing. So he'll be a force to be reckoned with as well. So I don't know about the real young guys stepping up, but certainly they'll have a chance to contend.
This course, what makes it so challenging?
It's kind of a link style layout, and there's just some funky holes and some interesting shots. And the greens, especially in some of the holes, especially 18, the greens are just gigantic. So it'll play so many different ways depending on the hole location and where it is. So there's a lot of elevation changes too. Some of the holes can play really long or really short. It doesn't fit everybody's eye, but some people that really like it seem to play it pretty well.
Chris, Coleman, rather, Chris Lang, excuse me, slipping up there as the VSGA's Chris Lang is with us here on the Sports Line. Chris, changes to the PGA Tour schedule, we've seen that as it's been unveiled, most notably on a local level, the Greenbrier event, the military tribute at the Greenbrier, now moved to the fall. Your assessment on this, is that a win for that event?
You know, it probably is. It might get a better feel because a lot of times early in the year in the wraparound schedule, guys that are sticking around that are playing in the FedEx Cup will stick around to play a couple of tournaments stateside to get, especially the European guys, because I think you need to have like five tournaments on the PGA Tour to maintain your status or something like that if you've got dual status. So, you know, we've seen that with the Safeway out in California where guys kind of stuck around and try to play that thing. Just to do that while you're already over here stateside. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be a bad thing. The weather should be good for it, usually at that time of the year, and you'll certainly you get players in there that like that event and like that championship, and it's not wedged in between a bunch of majors, so maybe fewer guys will skip it.
Chris Lang from the VSGA stopping by with us here on the Sports Line. Chris, appreciate the time. We'll connect again a little bit later on and look forward to more golf with the Delta Dental State Open coming up this weekend.
Should be a fun tournament. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Lang with us here on the Sports Line. And, you know, interesting take. I was up at the Greenbrier, as we know, for my weekend getaway this past weekend and bumped into friend of the show, Jamie Hamilton, who's the head pro there. And, I mean, of course, you wouldn't expect him to get critical of the new date, but he mentioned that they like that a lot. Obviously, from a business standpoint, the Greenbrier, you know, you're going to have traffic coming in the 4th of July week anyway. And now that Independence Day week is freed up for regular traffic, they move this event to the fall, and from a sheer economic standpoint, moving the Greenbrier golf events to the fall has a chance to bring visitors in at a time that they might not normally show up. So just another interesting twist on that one.
Now to
if you're Martin Truex Jr., that does sound like a very crisp, clean, perfect hum. As Martin Truex Jr. goes back to victory lane at Kentucky, he wins all three stages, the first, the second, and takes the checkered flag. Tom Bowles with us here now from frontstretch.com. All right, Tom, it's official, and it has been for a while, that we've got three championship contenders with Truex, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick. But is Truex's team hitting that midsummer form, or maybe they ought to be considered the championship favorites?
In some ways, Ed, they're actually ahead of where they were last year. You know, at this point last year, Truex was picking up his third win of the season at Kentucky. You know, at this point in 2018, he's got four, and he's got 13 top five finishes already. That's ahead of last year's pace. I think that Truex and the 78 team had a few bumps in the road to start the season, you know, kind of maybe a championship hangover of sorts, trying to figure things out. But right now, they are going blow for blow with Harvick and Busch. And I think they're even ahead of Kyle Busch and Harvick. The last 6 weeks, you look at their performance overall, I think the 78 is a tick ahead.
We've seen those three assert themselves. Any reason to think somebody else is going to claw their way in? We keep asking that every week, and yet we keep seeing those three teams, Kyle Busch, Harvick, and Truex, as the ones that are basically just rotating trips to victory lane.
Absolutely, right? We're asking the same question over and over again like Groundhog Day. You know, those three drivers and Clint Bowyer have combined to win every race this season that's not at a restrictor plate track. So they just really have had a stranglehold on everything. Now, I do think that somebody like a Ryan Blaney can get in the fold. He was second in Kentucky. You know, it definitely his one of his best overall performances of the year. He's had a couple of situations, you know, Bristol and in the Daytona 500 where he should have won, and then bad luck took him out of it. But I think somebody from Penske has the capability of breaking through, especially towards the end of the regular season. And certainly, you never know with a guy like Chase Elliott, even though he's been handicapped with Chevrolet. You know, you look at some of these other young guns like Eric Jones having, you know, their breakthrough win. A lot of eyes are on Chase Elliott to do the same. So you could potentially see Chase Elliott at a short track breakthrough, you know, or maybe even a Jimmy Johnson. But I expect those top three to continue racking up wins and playoff points through the end of the regular season. And if they go in the postseason with as many playoff points as they have now, Ed, they're going to be very difficult to beat, to knock off for Homestead.
Yeah, we might have three drivers that have already punched their ticket there. Tom, we'll chat again next week, get more NASCAR talk in then. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Tom Bowles with us here on the Sports Line.
And finally,
we have no intro for this, and we don't need one. It's Pickleball with Judy Bowman of the Commonwealth Games, who joins us now on covering the Commonwealth. Judy, appreciate your time. Pickleball, how much popularity have you seen in terms of the rise of pickleball at the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, it keeps growing and growing and growing, not just here at the Commonwealth Games. I mean, we've seen a significant increase. This is our fifth year, and we have close to 200 players coming in from actually about 10 different states, which I think is exciting that they're all coming to Lynchburg to play some pickleball because they heard the competition is good. They heard our venue is amazing at Liberty University with 20 indoor courts. And just a great venue.
Yeah, it certainly has been. You mentioned Liberty and 20 indoor pickleball and hardwood courts available. How much does that keep the competition flowing? And for those that want to check it out, fan interest and engagement with something going on?
Well, we have 3 days. We're actually start next Tuesday afternoon with the singles, men and women singles that range from age 19 all the way up to about 75 years old. We have people coming in. And then we have the mixed doubles. We have the men and women's doubles on Wednesday, and then the mixed doubles Thursday. So we've got 3 days of wonderful pickleball. And like I say, the courts are fantastic. They play well. And we do have a lot of good competition. We have players that are, 4.5 on a 5.0 scale coming into play. So we've got some great competition in all ages. I mean, it's just amazing the... pickleball is like over 3 million people in the United States. It's growing so quickly. The last 10 years, we've just seen a big growth. But a good competition. And we try to put on a good tournament. My son, Steve, and myself, we kind of run the pickleball tournament. And I'm the pickleball ambassador for, all of South Central Virginia and the tournament director. So we do our best to make it flow quickly, easily. People know exactly when they're going to be playing. Time slots are already prearranged and all of that. So they just keep moving along.
CommonwealthGames.org to go ahead and register, as you can do that right now. Pickleball coordinator Judy Bowman with us here. Is that stuff is set to get underway. The pickleball, July 24th through 26th, as she mentioned a moment ago, next yes. Tuesday. Judy, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it, and good luck with pickleball again this year.
All right. Thank you so much. Come on out and play with us sometime.
Absolutely. Should be a lot of fun. Pickleball, part of the Commonwealth Games. Quick break. We come back and wrap it up with an interesting observation on Wimbledon in the John Isner match that we didn't touch on late last week. An observation that came to me from a former football player. We'll share it next.